Okay, so we left off at the ends of Siman Kites. So a couple of leftover odds and ends in terms of different hachakas that the Chachamim instituted within the realm of Asa B'Chalav. So one is based on a statement that doesn't appear in the Bible, it appears in the Yerushalmi, that one is supposed to be careful not to eat leftover bread. When ate at a fleshik meal, one shouldn't then transfer over that leftover piece of bread and use it in a milchik meal, or vice versa. So the reason is fairly obvious that if you had bread on the table and the guy's hands are filthy with chicken grease, so that's going to get all over the bread, and you're going to end up eating bas b'cholov, at least not kibishul, obviously, but it's still going to be a problem. The simple reading of this halacha is that the bread that was left on a fleshik table is considered to be fleshiks, and which means you can't eat it with milchiks. It doesn't sound from the halacha that you can't eat it all together. Now, why would one think that you can't eat it all together? Well, there happens to be another din that we'll get to a little bit later on in your day, called if you actually make fleshik bread, or if you make more popular milchik bread. The other gemara says the Beferish that if you bake bread, let's say with using chicken schmaltz in the bread, so that bread is not just fleshik, that bread is mamash treif. Or let's say if you make milchik bread using butter or something, so that bread is considered to be not just milchik, it's considered to be mamash treif, and you're not permitted to eat it even with parva. The reason for that din is that since bread is so commonly eaten with everything, so Chazal were concerned if you have fleshik bread, next thing you know is by mistake you may eat it with cheese, or vice versa. So therefore they asked it at Lagama. So again, we get the Simin Tzadi Zayin, the end of Hilchos Bas B'Cholov. Hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit more. So when the Rishalmi calls this bread now, in a sense, fleshik bread, so one would have thought that maybe this bread is mamish fleshik. Once the bread was on the table, got fleshik all over it, now it's aser, now it's treif. So Lamai said that's not true. That's not true. So the Bari HaShulchan is not exactly sure why it's not true. It's not true. For sure it's not true. But he's not exactly sure why it's not true. If you're really concerned that there's chicken on the bread, so then you should say, well, I can't eat it now even with parva in an hour from now, because it's the same as it was made with chicken. So for whatever reason, the din is not true. But the original din of the Rishalmi is in fact correct, that any bread that was sitting on the table should not be used for the other kind of food. It's based on this that the Ramah quotes the minig in Hilchos Shavuos. Hilchos Shavuos is all of one of a siman Shulchan Aruch, but in the siman about Shavuos, so the Ramah quotes the practice of eating milchiks and eating fleishiks on Shavuos, and the Ramah quotes the minig of eating milchiks on Shavuos, not as a minig like many people have today, they just eat milchiks on Shavuos. The Ramah says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to have basar on Shavuos. Like any other yontif, the Ramah writes in the Chos Yontif, it ain't simcha al b'basar. Even though the Gemara doesn't say that, but the Ramah says that. That's a big question. What we pass like that? The Gemara says that ain simcha ella be achilus b'sar shlamim, and then the Gemara says b'zman she ain beis hamikdash kayam. So the Gemara says ain simcha ella b'yayin. So the Rambam kind of put those two things together. The Rambam says that b'zman hazeh b'zman achorben, so ain simcha ella b'bosar b'yayin. So the Beis Yosef asks on the Rambam, how did the Rambam know to borrow the bosar part? The Gemara only said the bosar part b'zman hamikdash can eat b'sar shlamim. B'zman hazeh, the Gemara sounds like all you need is yayin. The Gemara doesn't mention basa, and the Rambam somehow incorporated them together. So in Shulchan Aruch and Chos Yontif, he doesn't quote the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that ain simcha ela b'yayin, and deleted the word ain simcha ela b'basa b'yayin. And the Magen Avraham added in the word basa. The Magen Avraham says, no, we should follow the Rambam, we should have basa. So that's a big question, whether there's a chi of gomer to have basa on Yontif b'zman hazeh. I told of the story in the past that once somebody showed me an ad in a newspaper, like a Kolkari, one of the Fermi newspapers, that said that it's a terrible avla, that people are not being mechabed the yontif of sukkahs properly, and people are eating pizza on sukkahs instead of having fleishiks every day like they're supposed to. And it says, kakosu beferish b'shulchan aruch chas yontif, chayev adam lechol basar v'yayin b'yontif. So I said, whoever put that ad out was an amoritz. He never bothered to check that it doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch. If it would have said Kakosu b'Rambam, that would have been okay. But to quote the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch himself is the one who disagrees with the Rambam, and Dafka left the word out, as he explains in the Beis Yosef, so that was just I'm silly. But whatever it was. Anyway, not the first, not the last silly thing. Okay, fine. So the Ramah is also going with that idea that you're supposed to have Bosar and Yontif. So the Ramah is trying to explain away what the right way to have the minig of having of milchiks on Yontif, a Shavuos. At the same time, we want to have fleishik. So the Ramah says that we totally misunderstood what the whole minig is all about. The real minig of having milchiks and Shavuos, but you have the milchiks and Shavuos for what? What my Indian cheesecake, the mutton tira? But you have to have milchiks. Well, so the Ramah says, nah, everyone misunderstood what the minig was. The minig was not to have milchiks. The minig was that since on Shavuos they brought the shtei lechem in the Beis HaMikdash, so we want to make a zeicha to the shtei lechem. So how are you going to make a zeicha to shtei lechem? You're going to put two challahs on the table. You have two challahs every yontif on the table. So what's going to be lechem mishnah? So what's going to be the special zeichet reshtel lechem? So the Ramah says the minig of the zeichet reshtel lechem is that you bring out a second set of challahs to the table. So first you bring out challahs v'amotzi, and then you bring out another group of challahs to the table. Oh, everyone's going to realize, oh, this is the reshtel lechem. That's the minig. Everyone's going to remember that it's zeichet reshtel lechem. How are you going to remind people? How are you going to tell people to make sure they bring out more challahs to the table? Who's going to bring out more challahs? I got plenty of challahs on the table. So the answer is, says the Ramah, if you start off your meal by eating some milchiks, so then everybody knows that in your day that you have to take all the bread off the table. So mainly you're going to have to take off all the milchik bread off the table. Then you're going to have to bring out new challahs. And everyone's going to realize, oh, I'm bringing out the new challahs. It's a zeich l'shtel lechem on Shavuos. So Ramah says, that's what the minig was. That's what the whole minig of eating milchiks was. The minig of eating milchiks wasn't in the objectively eating milchiks. The minig of eating milchiks was to force you to bring out another set of challahs on the table to fulfill the minig of the zeich l'shtel lechem. So what happened? So nobody understood this. This was such Sisri Torah. So nobody ever realized that's what the minhag was based on. So then people started to say, I like milchiks better than fleishiks. So they stopped serving fleishiks on Shavuos. People are eating milchiks, they're eating cheesecake, they're eating blintzes. And all of a sudden, all the other reasons came in. It's Zevas Chalav Udvash, and Tachas L'Shoinich, and the fact that they came down from Matan Torah, they didn't know how to shecht. Half a dozen other reasons. But the Ramah says, nah, that wasn't the real reason. The real reason was to make a Zeich L'Shtel Lechem. So you have to really be a chacham. You have to really know the sugya in Yerodeah. It's based on the Rishalmi quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah to understand the minhag of the milchiks in the Ramah Aruch HaShavuos. No. Anyway, whatever it is. So getting back to the story. So in Yerodeah, this didn't really appear in the name of the Rishalmi. That you're supposed to take off all the extra bread off the table, anything that was around when you served milchiks or fleshes. So the Hagos Ashri writes that if you had bread on the table, so and you started to serve fleshes, you started to serve milchiks, so it's a midas chasidus to remove that bread. So the Acharonim ask, and the Hagos Ashri, what do you mean a midas chasidus? It's a beferish Yerushalmi. It's not a midas chasidus, it's a din. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, what the Hagos Ashri meant was like this, that the original din of the Yerushalmi only makes sense if you had pieces of bread mamish on the table in the following sense. So you cut up the challah, and you handed everybody a piece of challah, and the guy's got a piece of challah on his table, and he's eating his chicken with his challah, he's eating his stuffed cabbage with his challah in his hands, he's got gravy, he's got cook all over the challah. Now you want to go ahead and take this challah and use those slices of challah for your French toast with cream cheese on Sunday morning or something. So that's not right. That's not just not right. That's mamish also. That's what the Rishami meant. But let's say you had half a challah sitting on the table. You had a whole roll sitting on the table. Nobody touched it. It happened to have been sitting on the table at the same time you had a fleishig meal. So says Rav Moshe, that's not what the Rishami was talking about. That's not the iser of Basa B'chola. There's no fleishig. But you have to be chayshish. The guy took his grimy, greasy hands and stuck it on the challah. That's just Beteres Midas Chasidus. So that's what the Gos Rashi meant, that any challah that was sliced, that was already being eaten, was already being handled with dirty hands, that's takamikra din. You can't serve that for milchiks the next day. But anything that was sitting at the table, munach m'kaimoy, nobody came near it, it was a whole challah roll or something, so there's nothing to worry about mikra din. That's a samidus chasidus. It was already on the table, you should stay away from it. Then the poskim quote as an extension of this midas chasidus of the Gos Rashi is that maybe it's not only true for bread, maybe it's true for other things also. That anything that there's an off chance that it may have been touched by fleishiks, why don't you try to not serve for milchiks? That's where all the modern day chumras of using two ketchups and all the everything I've tried to use. So as I was chasing over my notes, I was reading over the notes that were written up 10 years ago, the ones that have been reviewed by myself, so therefore they shouldn't be relied upon. So every once in a while there are some mistakes in there. But I noticed that it said something about the Sobolovsky home, 2 bottles of ketchup. Anyone knows in those notes? Anyone saw the notes? So it said in the notes that whether or not this practice should be followed depends on the type of kids that you have. So it said something like, for example, in the Sobolovsky home where people take ketchup bottles and shove it into the hamburger, so then you shouldn't take that same ketchup bottle and shove it onto your pasta and cheese 10 minutes later. So that would be if you can eat like a little bit more of a mensch, so then maybe this Midas Chasidus wouldn't apply. So yesh v'yesh. So this was 10 years ago, so I was showing Bar Yaakov these notes the other day. I said, when I wrote this, you were only 6 years old. I'm not sure anything's changed in the last 10 years, but a little bit. A lot of things have changed, whether the ketchup midhagim have changed, I can't tell you. So anyway, whatever it is, so each family should try to figure out. It's always a good idea, but if you can have two things separate, matzah.
With the bread stuff, yeah. Would there be any need for any harchakos? Meaning waiting or kinuach v'adacha?
I mean, you have to assume it's mamash, fleishiks.
What about the cafeteria here? Yeah. The ketchup dispensers?
They're used for both?
Yeah.
So we assume that people have grown up enough not to shove it into their food. Are they?
I've never seen anyone, but I've been told that people have.
People do. So you should buy the little. So they don't have the little disposable ketchup.
They have little disposable things.
So should use that.
But if I use it, it's okay.
What do you mean?
If someone stuck their macaroni and cheese in it, and I want to have.
No, I'm saying you should use the packets of ketchup. If you
they
don't sell them.
Can you assume after like one use, after the person stuck it in, it should be okay?
I mean, the odds are that right, since it's at the fleshy wheel, so right. Right, the odds are that the last 20 guys who used it, have used it for Fleishik, right. Since they are serving Fleishik that meal. Right. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes another.
You're not putting the actual ketchup into the food, so it's not in the Fleishik, but like Zaya, like the same thing.
Yeah, Zaya, we got a long way to go. We got the Zaya. Right. I don't want to give it away now. If I give it away now, I have nothing to talk about in Simon. Wait till Zaya. Then the Shekhanah quotes another Chumrah, which again doesn't even have its roots in the Gemara. It comes from a tshuva, either tshuva Ramban or Rashba. It's one of those tshuvas that somebody wrote in the back of the Rashba. So the Shekhanah quotes that one should not put food down on the same tablecloth. So you have one tablecloth that you use for fleishiks, then you want to use that same tablecloth 5 minutes later for milchiks, so that's not a good idea. Why is that? So it's not an issue of bleias, not because it was any absorption that went into the tablecloth. Even if everything is cold, then it's true. It's a question of the end. They just ate chicken on the tablecloth, so then there may be a little piece of chicken, still a little grease of chicken left, and I go put my slice of pizza on. So that's going to be eating potentially bas b'chol of the end together. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, quotes from the Rishonim, that one is not supposed to do that. So there is a machlekes ha'poskim, the Advaz talks about in the Tshuva, about whether this chumra, this minis chasidus, does this apply even if you're serving on plates? In the olden days, they didn't always have plates. So a guy plopped down a piece of chicken, and then 5 minutes later, another guy's going to plop down his slice of pizza. So that type of makes a lot of sense. It's probably a little bit of chicken left on the tablecloth. But if you're eating on a plate, so then what could possibly go wrong? So that's what the Advaz writes. And the lady Rachmanim writes, that not everybody food lands on the plate all the time. So it should be chayshish anyway. So the minhag ha'olam is that we try to be machmir. We don't use the same tablecloth for both, unless you wash it. You wash it in between. That's okay. But if you want to, even though you're eating on a plate, so the more correct thing to do is not to rely on this kula. So I think I also wrote in that there also my great ha'ara was that depends whether those families. I think I wrote something like those families that they can't control the ketchup, so probably can't control their food on the tablecloth also. So again, the minhag ha'olam is to try to be machmir. No, there we said Yitaka.
Yeah, but when the same issue arises, chicken.
No, but I'm eating in a different place. Here is a mom eating in the same place, the same spot of the tablecloth. The guy 5 minutes away, chicken. Now he left, and I want to put my pizza down, so that's more of a problem.
Right, yeah, place back, then even the mamir would be, and I just had a plate.
Okay, maybe. Okay, I don't know. There is another din / minig really that the Pesukim quote, which was another harchacha to try to prevent any mix-up between the fleshes and milchiks, and that's within the realm of kalim. So we know the din is, we'll talk about this a lot as we go on, but we know the din is, the Torah says that if you have, let's say, a pot that was used for chazir, then that pot gets bleas of chazer, and I can't cook kosher food in that. If I cook kosher food within 24 hours, so that's going to trafe up the food. After 24 hours, b'di'evit, that's called mezatam of kam, and that's going to be okay. Torah, even the rabbanim b'di'evit. But there is a basic din of kasher and kalim that exists at a level of deraisa. So that din is true when it comes to bas b'chol as well. Say I have a spoon that I used for fleishik, so obviously I can't go ahead and use that same spoon for milchiks. The only way that I can is if I kasher it. So the Magen Avraham quotes that there's an age-old practice that the Ashkenazi communities for sure have. I have to check with this fire department, this also, I don't know, but at least in the Ashkenazi communities, there's an age-old practice that we don't just kasher things back and forth from fleshiks to milchiks. In theory, it would be a gavalic idea. What do I need two sets of silverware for? So I'll just I'll have my fleshiks silverware. If and when I want to use it for milchiks, so I'll throw it into some boiling water and sure, I'll kasher it. So the Magen Avraham says that we don't just sporadically just do that back and forth because it's going to leave the day mishul. The guy's not going to remember. He knows what this silverware looks like. So he thinks that it's a fleshing silverware. He's going to forget the kasher. He's going to make a mistake. He won't cut it. It's too bad of a mishul. And therefore, the minhag became that you're not supposed to kasher things from fleshing to milchiks. how are you allowed to kasher if you want to kasher? So different poskim give different eitzes. So the Prima Gadim says that although the minig is, the age-old minig is not to kasher things in fleshy stimulifix, but if it became treif, then you're allowed to kasher. We don't have to tell the guy to throw a silverware out. So let's say a guy has a fleshy spoon, and by mistake he stirred his pot of milk or something, so now it became amish treif. So that was never included in this minig. So then you're allowed to kasher it. So the Prima Gadim says, good, if you have a fleshik spoon, you want to make it milchigs, so you can't just kasher it to make it milchigs. You have to treif it up first. So that's what the Prima Gadim says. You should take it and mamish stir, gewaldige. Make sure you stir it. There's enough milk in there that it's more than shishim, so it doesn't ruin the whole milk of the whole pot. So make sure to really be smart. You got to know all of your day and 70 days to figure out how to do this properly. We should treif up the silverware. Once you treif up the silverware, then you can be a kasher. I don't think that's the minig Yisrael. I don't think anybody, I never heard anybody doing that. That's true. That's the last thing we want to encourage people to do, to deliberately trafe up the kitchen in order to save themselves the minig. I don't think anybody does that. So what do we rely on? So most people rely on the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer writes that the minig Yisrael, the minig in our community is not the kasher things from one to another. So the Chassam Sefer writes that minig doesn't apply for Pesach. Let's say a guy wants the kasher silver for Pesach. What, we don't let you kasher silver? Of course we let you kasher silverware. There's man is there, we try to shy away. What do you need kasher? What has everyone's got plenty of money to buy another set of silverware? But he could have a lot of kasher or silverware for Pesach. So Chassam Sefer says, if the guy's already kashering it, so I'm not kashering from fleshiks to milchis, I'm kashering from chametz to Pesach. Once I already kashered for Pesach, so then if I choose that now I have too much fleshiks silverware, I need another set of milchiks silverware, so why not? So that was never included in the minix, as long as the original kashering is done l'tzorach Pesach. So that's what the Chassam Sefer writes. So that cool of the Chassam Sefer in this minig has taken on a life in and of itself. So basically what happens is that the guy doesn't need silverware for Pesach, but he knows that Erev Pesach nobody asks any question about this minig. So he brings all his fleshy silverware to the shul and he throws it into a big pot of water, and then he goes away from Pesach for a week. So he doesn't use this silverware. So somehow people have assumed that's all included in the Chassam Sefer's kula. I don't know. I don't think that's what the Chassam Sefer was talking about. He was talking about Migo, you're cashing in for Pesach, then we turn around and let you use it for whatever you want. But just because you happen to be doing it on Erev Pesach, but you're not planning on using it for Pesach, so that's hard to sanction. But whatever, that's what the people do.
If the Chassash is Shema Yitah.
Right. So it's the same.
If the minig is, there is one day a year that Hagalos Kalim is allowed, and that day is Erev
whatever Pesach. Whatever it is.
Doesn't that take care of Shema Yitah?
I don't know.
Even if they never use it.
Okay, maybe. See, Malam is Chosin Klaiso. Good. Okay, good. Malam is Chosin all the people who cash the silver and then go away from Pesach. So I'll accept the limud tzchus on the first half, I won't accept it on the second half. Okay. Doesn't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I gotta get in something. It's Pesach is ready. I gotta make my going away Pesach jokes. Yeah. Okay, I gotta make fun of something during the custody. Okay, Rabbi Say. Don't go for that. Okay. Rabbi Say, getting back to the story. So then there's a other possible map, other possible coolers within this. Again, the whole thing is a minig anyway, but the other possible have other possible coolers. So the Marsham has a possible cool as follows. That maybe this minute.
Can you do the gift to cry? Just from the flesh
of flesh, you can cash
something. Like one thing, not all the time, you just
have to
cash
it. No, that's the minig was not to do it. The minig was not to do it at all. So the Masham suggests that maybe one can invoke the following cool. This is a cool that we'll talk about a lot during the course of your day. But maybe one can invoke the following principle. Maybe if you just wait it out a little bit, just not the kasher from fleshy milk, you shouldn't do. If you wait for a whole year, then it's okay. Then you can start kashering from fleshy milk. Where in the world did that come from? So this is based on the famous psak of the Chacham Tzvi. So it's a very, very big chiddush of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara talks about if a person has different kelim that we use for stam yenam, and they absorb some of the wine in the walls of the kli, and the gluk of the wine was sitting in the kli for a long, long time. A whole year has passed already. So the Gemara says, once a whole year has passed already, so whatever bleas was inside is its commando length. It's dried out to such a point that doesn't exist anymore. So basically, what the Gemara is telling us is that different things happen during the course of time when you have bleas inside walls of kelim. When you have a bli inside a wall, it's within 24 hours. That's called the Nosen Tam Shvach. It's a good Shvach here, Hebrew, not Yiddish. Shvach in Yiddish means bad, but here it means L'Shevach and good. So when you have a Nosen Tam Shvach, something that tastes good, so that's a real bli, that's a real problem. Once 24 hours have passed, that's a Nosen Tam of Gam, and then Migra, then it's really, you're going to be okay, but it's still a problem. Midrabanan, you're still not allowed to rely on Nosen Tam of Gam. So it's also Midrabanan to use a kli that has a bli in it even more than 24 hours later. But once a whole year has passed, as the Chacham Tzvi, just as the Gemara has, Lagabi of Erizah, Lagabi Sugis of Stam Yenam, that if for a year, it's not a Belial of Gam, it's less than a Belial of Gam, it's nothing, it's dried up, it's Yavesh Akeis, it doesn't exist anymore. So then it's Mutar L'Chatchila, at least by Stam Yenam. So that's a Gemara. So the Chacham Tzvi's Chiddush is that that's true by other Yisurim as well. That once a whole year has passed, so then there's no need to kasher it. You don't have to kasher it midderaisi after 24 hours. You don't even have to kasher it midderabanan after a whole year. There's nothing there anymore. You only have to kasher when there's some kind of a bluya. Bluya lefgam, bluya leshvach, deraisi, derabanan. But when there's no bluya bechlal, it doesn't exist. So it doesn't exist. Me'el tetagom. It's a famous kula of Chacham Tzvi. After a year, you don't have to kasher kelim bechlal. So the emes is that Chacham Tzvi himself puts the brakes on his kula. He says that, I lo shemanu davazem yoylam. There should be such a din. Every time, everything's mutter after a year. It doesn't sound that way. So why do we never find such a thing practically if the sugya in Avodah Zarah carries over to Shari Surim? So Chacham Tzvi says it must be that Chazal were concerned about the following mix-up. Chazal were concerned that if you're going to tell a guy after a year, it's okay, no problem, you can really follow this din after a year, you could use the kli, no big deal. The same balabas who a few months earlier, who by mistake cooked with something, say it was 8 months old, not 12 months old, it was 8 months old, and he cooked with the kli that was a trefa kli, what was the psak that the rabbi gave him? The rabbi said, it's okay, but the evit, because doesn't tell him the command, the evit says it's okay. So here you have two balabatim coming to the rabbi, so one of them cooked with a kli after 8 months, and one cooked with a kli after 14 months. So the guy who cooked after 8 months, so the rabbi says to him, oh, it's okay, it's all right, you cook with it, don't worry about it, the food's okay. The guy who cooks after 14 months comes to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, it's okay, it's fine, no problem. The two balabatim come outside and they meet each other. So one says to the other, says, oh, what did the rabbi tell you? He said everything's okay. And the other one said everything's okay. So the guy who cooked after 14 months, when the rabbi said everything's okay, what do you mean everything's okay? You mean you can mamash use the kli. It's had to go and use the kli, says the Chacham Tzvi, because 12 months are basically over. Masha Ein Kein, the guy who cooks after 8 months, so he's not allowed to use the kli. That's exactly what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, the gozu kadeir she'enu ben yom atu ben yomo. The Chazal made a gezeira not to use the kli after 24 hours. The Maritz Chayis writes that he thinks that was a tekonas Moshe Rabbeinu. It's right. He thinks Moshe Rabbeinu made this gezeira. It goes back 3,500 years. It's a gezeira midrabanan not to use kelim after 24 hours. So if you're going to let a guy after 12 months mamash use the kli, the next thing that's going to happen is the guy after 2 weeks is going to use the kli also, because it's the same thing. In the mindset of Balabatim, if here it's mutter b'di'evit, here it's mutter b'di'evit, they're not going to realize that this is takamut l'chatchila, and that's only mutter b'di'evit. So the whole gezeira enem en yom is going to fall by the way. So the whole thing is going to just disappear. It's going to go up in thin air. So therefore, Chacham Tzvi says, it should have been mutter. We really should have told the guy, it's mutter l'chatchila to use the kelim after 12 months. But if you tell a guy it's mutter to use it after 12 months, the next thing you know is he's going to use it after 2 months also. So therefore, midrabban, they had to answer it. So the Chacham Tzvi just created a great cool. Pesh hit the Pesh also. He just threw the whole cool out the window. So he says, no, I'll tell you where the cool is going to work. The cool is going to work of 12 months in a type of an iser. It's a little bit counterintuitive. Where no satam of gam is also. If you have a type of an iser where we paskin for the guy after 2 months, the b'dieved, the food is osur, because no sin tam of gam is osur, so then there's no confusion anymore between the post 2 months and the post 12 months. It's a radically different sock. What's the case? From to Pesach. We paskin. Rabbah quotes many Rishonim who say that on Pesach, no sin tam of gam is in fact osur. So what's going to be the mix-up? You have two guys, yes, the shayla. The guy who has the shayla after 12 months, we're going to say to him, the food's mutter and the kli's mutter. The guy who has the shayla after 2 months, we're going to say, the food's osur and the kli's osur. There's no comparison. There's no mix-up. There's no room for mix-up. So nimtza chumra kulay. Because chametz Pesach is so chumur that within 12 months, we're going to say the food's osur b'dieved. Guess what? After 12 months, what are we going to let you do? We're going to let you use it l'chatchila. Because there's no reason to be gozer. What are you going to be gozer for? It's at the gomer. So you fall back on the original din. The real halach is that after 12 months are over, everything's mutter. That's a razzle-dazzle vort from Chacham Tzvi. So he has a whole shtick of Torah based in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah that just as Stam Yenam is mevatel everything after 12 months, Me'ikra din is mevatel everything and all Yisurim after 12 months, Lamaisa, we can't implement that because we're afraid people are going to get confused. But in Isurim, which doesn't tell of Gam is also anyway, there's nothing to get confused about. So Taka, we can implement it. So according to Chacham Tzvi, it's an unbelievable cool. It's a gewaltig cool according to Chacham Tzvi. That on Chometz Tikka Kalim, all you have to do is what? What do you have to do? Wait a year. That's it. You don't have to kasha. Wait a year. Everything's gewaldic. Everything's murder. You know when they quote the Chacham Tzvi? You know who quotes the Chacham Tzvi?
The
Chassidish poskim to quote it. You know why? Because many people on the 8th day of Pesach, they start cooking with all the kelim, gebrachs, gewalt, it's chom, it's gomer, and then they use those same kelim a year later. So it's not quite a year later. That's the problem. It's not Yud Beis Chodesh yet. So they quote, maybe you don't even need a full Yud Beis Chodesh. So if you hold like this Chacham Tzvi by clay chomets for Pesach, it's mutter after a year, so you can use your mamish chomets. You don't have to use gebrachs kelim. You can use mamish chomets to your kelim. So do we follow this Chacham Tzvi? Not really. We try not to follow this Chacham Tzvi. Many Acharim said the whole thing is not true. That was a special kula by Samyenam. It's nothing to do with Chazan, to do with Basbuchom, to do with Chomets. The whole thing, the Hoyud Vamayolam. Many Acharim didn't like this whole thing. Rav Moshe, as we'll talk about when we get the sugyas of Kashrut and Kalim later on the year, Rav Moshe keeps on bringing back this Chacham Tzvi. Maybe Betziruf, maybe we could rely on it for Bala Tshuva to get sets of China. They want, you know, those kinds of things. Dishwash, all kind of funny things. Maybe we can keep on bringing the Chacham Tzvi back to life as a sniffle hakel. But we try, normative halacha, we try not to rely on this Chacham Tzvi. So the Maharsham writes in his Tshuva that we can rely on the Chacham Tzvi's svara vis-a-vis the minig of not kashering fleshes to milchiks. It's the whole thing of not kashering fleshes to milchiks. The whole thing is a minig b'yalma. The whole thing doesn't appear in the Gemaras and not the early Rishonim. It's a later minig that was been adopted in the days of the Magen Avraham, whatever it was, wherever the minig started, before the Magen Avraham, not the kashering fleshes to milchiks, as a midas chasidus, as a hero, just not to be nichshel and basal b'cholav. So says the Maharsham, he thinks that if a whole year already passed, since Meikra didn't, you probably don't need the kasher also, because the Chacham Tzvi is probably right, there is no need to kasher it. So no. So whenever the kashering is not an absolute necessary kashering, so then we could rely on those shittas and say, well, let you kasher it and don't have to be so concerned with this. So we sometimes can extrapolate from this idea of the Maharsham to other cases. You have a lot of cases where kashering is not absolutely necessary, where it could be that there are many shittas that hold you don't even need the kashering. Marshall, people like to kasher ovens back and forth from fleshiks to milchiks. So again, we'll talk a little bit more about ovens later on, Sadi Beis, whether you have to kasher ovens altogether, maybe dishwashers back and forth, fleshiks to milchiks. Room to discuss. I didn't say we'd send anything yet. But maybe the idea of not kashering things from fleshiks to milchiks, so maybe that minute should be reserved for things that really, really, really not have to be kashered. Things that they're a good start of lahokka that don't have to kash it altogether. So then b'chiyah gavna we could rely on the ikra din against the minik to start kashering back and forth from fleshes to milchiks. Maybe again. Hopefully we'll talk about those things as we go on. So kopan, and these are all part of the different nihugim that don't have their roots in the Talmud Bavli, at least the Rishami's chumra of not eating the bread and the extension to other possible foods. Then you have the Ramban's and the Shulchan Aruch's idea of not eating on the same tablecloth. And then you have the Magen Avraham's minhag of that kashrut. These are all intended to create as much of a harchaka between Bas and Bechalav to prevent any mix-ups. Again, these are all in line with the Gemara's harchakas. So Chazal instituted certain things, and certain other minhagim developed afterwards. It's not that different from Hilchos Nida. There are certain harchakas that appear mamish in the Gemara itself, and then there's certain other things. Minhag Yisrael developed, so once you're supposed to try to follow both the dinim that are beferish in the Gemara and those dinim that were accepted by the poskim of Bechol Dor as extra hachakas.
This is only, this minna of not doing Hadalah is only if I just, out of my own volition, want to switch something from milchik to pleshik. If I accidentally stirred the chicken soup with the milchik ladle,
then it becomes treif. Once it becomes treif, then you can do whatever you want with it. Right. Once it's treif, then you can kasher and do whatever you want with it. Okay. Okay, so everybody, so we start the next simon. We're not going to do simon tzaddik. That's those who want to learn chal can learn by themselves, but we're not going to do it here. So we move on to the next simon. It's simon tzaddik aleph. So simon tzaddik aleph is already, in a certain sense, we would call the beginning of, I don't mean it's in a bad way, of real Yerodeh. It's not even, it's almost real Yerodeh. The first couple of simon that we talked about, this was the easy part of Yerodeh. This is not the part of Yerodeh that scares people. Simon tzaddik aleph almost starts it, but it doesn't really get into it until Simon Tzadi Bay. So this is halfway to getting scared people. So don't want you get too scared. This is the easy part of the scary part. Simon Tzadi Aleph begins on commenting on a Mishnah that appears in Perek HaBasar about if a person has Basar and Gvina that are touching one another. Everything is cold, and one of the ramifications of that statement. So the Mishnah says that once you be careful, if you're throwing a piece of chicken and a slice of pizza into the same bag, so you should be careful that the two shouldn't touch one another. Even though everything is turning to turning. Why do you have to be careful that they shouldn't touch one another? So the Gemara here in Pesachim and other places develops this whole klal that when you have two things, even though it's cold and there's no technical blias, there's no real absorption one to another, but heat, there's no real blia, but hadocha milaboy, you still have to wash off the surface area, you have to wash off the pizza, you have to wash off the meat. So that's just to get off any end. So if I had pizza that touched meat, even though everything was ice cold, I wouldn't be able to just eat the pizza, I wouldn't be able to eat the meat, I would have to wash it off. So it requires hadocha. That's what the klal in the Gemara is, tzenin b'tzenin b'hadocha. Everything is cold, then all it needs is hadocha. So the Mishnah here is alluding to the fact that not only the tzenin b'tzenin b'hadocha, but I'm supposed to do whatever is in my power not to get to such a situation. I shouldn't create l'chadchila a situation that requires hadacha, because there's a real fear that hadacha may not happen. I'm going to put together my pizza, my chicken, l'chadchila, relying on the fact I'm going to wash off the chicken when I get home, I'm going to wash off the pizza when I get home. I may forget. So therefore the Mishnah says, you should make sure that they shouldn't touch in the first place. So you have two different dinim that are appearing, looked in the same Mishnah. One is the basic, fundamental halacha of your day, that tzani b'tzani is b'hadacha. And the second is the corollary of that is that since tzadim b'tzadim is b'hadocha, therefore you should do everything in your power not to have to reach that point, because there you may come to forget. So the basic halacha of tzadim b'tzadim b'hadocha, where did this come from? So the regular dinim of bliyah, so that we already know. There are dinim of tam kikar, there are isa, there are abanan, bas b'chala, by other isurim. I mean, we don't know enough about that yet, but hopefully we'll come up with that as we go on. But the basic principle of all bliyah is that there has to be some kind of a heat involved. Whether the heat is klimishon, klisheni, logo, tesogo, we got a lot of work to do. But all belias are presupposing either literal heat or some halachic substitute for heat. But tzadim b'tzadim is a little bit strange, because tzadim b'tzadim, there's no heat at all, and there's not going to be belias at all. So b'hadocha, just washing off the surface, is sufficient. Where did that come from? This halacha called tzadim b'tzadim b'hadocha. So our initial reaction would be, where did it come from? It doesn't come from anywhere. It means it's just common sense. I need a pasuk to tell me that. I need a halacha masin to tell me to wash off the food. If I see I got some pizza on my chicken, so I should wash it off. Well, let's say, even if it's not bas l'chol, even if it's chazir, which is a more serious problem, because for chazir, you don't need derech bishul. Let's say I touch a piece of chazir to my slice of bread or something. So if I see a little bit of chazir shmalt sitting on my bread, obviously I got to get it off. So I need a pasuk. I need a gzeres halacha masin to tell me. Common sense dictates, there's schmaltz there, there's grease there, this, and there, I have to get it off. So even though, l'chari, that's what I would have said, that you don't really need a pasuk for it, there are some Yisharim who seem to say, no, there is a pasuk for it. There's actually a mocha in the Torah Shebichsav for this idea of tzadim b'tzadim b'hadocha. Where's the mocha? So it's somewhat of a controversial mocha, because other Yisharim understand that pasuk is talking about something very, very different. It's a series of psukim tucked away in Parshas Matos. The Torah describes when Klal Yisrael went out to war against the Midianim. So they conquered a lot of stuff. They got all their pots and pans and silverware and everything. So the Torah gives us a whole parsha of kasher and kalim. What do you got to do? You got to kasher all the kalim. Called the varsha. You have a ba'esh, tavir ba'esh with tahir. You can't just use the kalim. You got to mamish kasher the kalim. A whole series of halachas, because all the kalim had b'lias of treifas in them. Why did all of a sudden we wake up now in Kashrut Kalim? This was not the first war that they fought. There were other wars back in Parshas Chukos that they were fighting. So why is this the first time they have to Kashrut Kalim? No, what's the answer? Ramban al Torah, the Ram and the Ramban, that when they're fighting the wars of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, so the war against Sichon Og, that is the status of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So there's a halacha that you're allowed to eat mamash treifas. If you're the chazir, if you're in the middle of conquering Eretz Yisrael, and you walk in and you find there's a cheeseburger sitting there, treifas cheese, real McCoy, real, not Mahadra, like the real treifas cheeseburgers. So you're allowed to eat them. So it was only because they were now fighting a war that wasn't technically Kibush Eretz Yisrael, but the din of Kala the Chazir didn't kick in. So that's the whole sugya in the first Pesach Chulin, but not for that. So the bottom line is, in Parshas Melchemes Midian, so they're fighting the war against Midian, and the Torah says you have to kasher all the kalim. So in the parish of kasher the kalim, the Torah seems to split all kalim into two categories. The Gemara is called Avar Asher Yavav Va'esh. Tavir va'esh v'taher ach m'meini da yizkata v'chal asher lo yavav va'esh tavir v'alayim, right? Got that right? Okay, good. So the Torah says kol davar sheyavav va'esh, anything that was in the fire has to be tavir va'esh, has to be kasher with fire. Then ach m'meini da yizkata, you have to sprinkle if a pardum, it has to be tahor. And then the Torah says v'chol davar v'chol asher lo yavav va'esh tavir v'alayim, anything that didn't come in the fire has to go through water. What does that mean? What do those two statements mean? So there's a three-way machlokes as to what exactly taich in that second half of the pasuk is. The first half of the pasuk is pretty obvious, called the varshe above the esh. If it came treif, fire, you have to kashrut and fire. What does it mean called davar shelei vo be'esh v'tavir b'mayim? So maybe the Torah is referring to the two processes of kashering kelim. We know the Mishnah in the end of Avodah Zarah tells us that this kashering through libun is kashering through hagola. Libun is something which was in the fire. Yeah, so you have a barbecue spit. So you have to kasher it. The barbecue grate, you got to kasher it with fire. It was baba esh, you have to kasher it with fire. Anything asheloi of baba esh, anything that didn't, was not used with fire. What do you mean it wasn't used with fire? It was used to cook, but it wasn't used directly, mamish, in the fire. It was used like a spoon to stir the food or something, with a pot filled with water. Then you kasher it with mayim. What does tavir b'mayim mean? It means with agola. So that may be the source for the two dinim that appear in the Mishnah in the end of Masechta Avodah. So the both halves of the pasuk are talking about kashering kelim. The first half is talking about kashering through libun. The second half is talking about tavir b'mayim. The mayim there means boiling hot water in a pot on the stove, altz hagola. That's the source for libun and hagola. That's one way of reading the pasukim. So Rashi on Chumash doesn't say that. Yeah. Rashi has a different shot in the pasuk. What is called the Vav Shelev Eish Tavir B'Mayim? What does Rashi say? Rashi means it means Tvilas Kalim. The pasuk is saying like this: called the Vav Shelev Yavoba Eish. Anything which was Yavoba Eish, anything which has to be kashered because it had a bliya in the fire. The pasuk is talking about either libun or hagol. The pasuk is not talking about the details right now. It's just saying anything that was used with hot has to be kashered by hot, whether hot means fire, hot means hot water. You learn your day, you learn Siman in Hadolah Skelem, you figure it out. So Kol Devar Sheyavo Eish, according to Rashi, is referring to Kasher and Kalim. What does it mean, Kol Devar Shelo Yavo Eish B'Tavir B'Mayim? It means if you got something from the Mijanim, like a cold glass, the Mijanim didn't use it for anything, there's no bliyas on it. So there's no bliyas whatsoever, what do you do with it? Tavir B'Mayim, Tavir B'Mayim, according to Rashi, doesn't mean that you Kasher in hot water. What does Tavir B'Mayim mean? Put it into a mikvah. Tavir b'mayim means bitoivel it. So Rashi says, the second half of the pasuk is not talking about kasher and kelim through hagola. The second half of the pasuk is talking about being toivel kelim, those kelim that don't need kashering, but they still require tefillas kelim. So the Ramban, or Atar, and Pashas Matas quotes this piyot and says it's not necessarily correct. You know why it's not necessarily correct? Because the Ramban is not so sure that tefillas kelim is deraisa. It's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Is tefillas kelim really deraisa? We spoke a lot about this last year in the end of the Shabbos, that tefillas kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we're not even sure tefillas kelim is required at all together. So that's not what the pasuk is talking about. So what is the pasuk talking about? So the Ramban offers a third interpretation. It's not talking about hot water of kashrut. It's not talking about cold water of a mikvah. It's talking about your sink, namely wash it off. Kol davar shelo yavo ba'esh tavir b'mayim means if let's say you got a bowl of cereal that the guy used for straight for cereal, but it was cold cereal, wasn't hot, wasn't porridge, it was cold cereal. Once when I was in England once, so we were eating in a hotel, and their mother was there, so she asked for a hot cereal. She meant like farina or oatmeal or something. She called it hot cereal. So they didn't know what she was talking about. They thought she wanted them to boil up a bowl of cornflakes for her. They couldn't understand what they wanted. So for about 10 minutes, she said, no, I want some hot cereal. They said, well, we don't have hot cereal. She said, we have hot cereal. We want a bowl of hot cereal. Finally, the guy says, oh, you mean porridge. So like the Three Bears and Goldilocks, they still call it porridge. He said, yeah, that's what I want. Okay. So let's say if the guy used this cereal tray for porridge, a hot cereal mamish, so then you have to cash in a bowl, and maybe the bowl can't cash in, no problem. But if it's Hashem, lo yavim eish, they just had their tray for, I don't know, the tray for cornflakes or something, I don't know what's tray for about it. They had something, the tray for cornflakes with little bits of bacon, cold bacon floating around in it. So the pasuk says, v'chol Hashem lo yavim eish tavir b'mayim. So just wash it off, says the Ramban. That's what the pasuk means. The pasuk is saying, you don't have to kasher it. You don't have to put it in the mikvah. Kashering is not even talking about. The mikvah is only derabbanan. So all you have to do is just wash it off very, very, very well. The Rabban says, that's the chazal that they did from tzedib tzedib b'adocha. Means you have to really, really wash it off well. The stumble, what the Rabban is saying is a chiddush. He's saying that, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I got to wash it. If I see a piece of bacon sitting on the, stuck to the bowl, I don't need a pasuk to tell me to wash it off. I know I have to wash it off. What the pasuk is telling me is that I got to work really hard on it. I got to really scrub away it. I got to really tzedim b'adocha means it's like a quasi kashering. It's like a cleansing of the kli above and beyond just rinse off. I got to really really work on it. Do a tzedim a really really gestarcha mahadrin dika hadocha. It's mamish learned out from a pasuk. So according to the Ramban's pshat and Parshas Matos, there's a source in the Chumash itself at tzedim b'adocha. Fine. So getting back to that story. So we have two dinim that looked in this mishnah, which forms the beginning of sin in the tzadi aleph in Yerodeya. The number one, tzadim and tzadim is bad docha. And number two, that I really shouldn't rely on tzadim and tzadim bad docha. I should try to run my kitchen in such a way that I don't put things in a place where they're going to require hadocha, because I'm going to forget to do hadocha. So those two dinim appear in the mishnah. And so the Rishonim quote from the Baal HaItur, that the Baal HaItur, the early Rishonim, was of the opinion that this second half of the din of the Mishnah, the din that says that not only the Sanim B'Sanim B'Hadocha, but I have to avoid Sanim B'Sanim B'Hadocha because I'm afraid I'm going to forget, says the Baal HaItur, B'med D'Vam Amurim, that makes sense on something which is not normal to wash off. Let's say the Mishnah is describing, I have a piece of some meat together with a piece of, I have a cooked piece of chicken with a slice of pizza. I'm going to put them into the same basket. I'll smach them. I'm going to remember to wash them off. Says the Balei, who's going to remember to wash off the cooked pizza? Who washes off chicken? It's already cooked. Who washed the slice of pizza? Maybe it takes some oil off, but nobody runs it under the faucet. So it's highly unlikely the guy's going to remember to wash it. That's the gezeira that I bought, not to rely on doing hadoch. It's unlikely you're going to remember. But says the Balei, let's say you have something which is darker bakach to wash. Let's say you have raw meat. So everybody washes the raw meat before you start to cook it. Or you have some kind of milchik food that's darker. Everyone's going to wash off the milchiks. So the Balei said, what are you afraid of? What's the gezeira? What, you're going to forget to wash it? You're going to wash it. Mitam cleanliness, mitam cooking anyway. So there's nothing to be worried about, says the Balei. You can be you're home, you're okay. Nothing to worry about. So the other Rishonim don't accept this. Not all the Rishonim accept this. The Ra'ah disagrees with the Balei. The Ra'ah says that no, that that you have to always be concerned that the person is going to forget to wash. What do you mean? What's he going to forget to wash? We're afraid the guy's going to forget to wash the raw chicken. Everyone washes raw chicken. So it could be that these Rishonim were saying that Afal Pichen, we're afraid you're going to wash, you're going to forget, we're afraid you're going to forget to wash it. Maybe going like the Ramban's understanding, that the washing that's necessitated by the halacha is much, much more than just a rinsing under the sink. It's not enough just to run it under like you would normally wash off raw meat. He's got to roll those sleeves up and get some elbow grease, get it really working to fulfill the din of the shame yichud of you got to do what the Torah says, the yava b'mayim. So that tacha, maybe you're afraid you're going to do. You're afraid you're going to forget to do. So maybe that's an akudas amachleikis between the Baal HaItur and the Ra'ah. Baal HaItur says the whole gezeira of the Rabban only makes sense on something which is never darka b'kach to wash. If it's darka to wash, so that by definition you will be yaitzei tzanim et tzanim b'hadocha. And the Ra'ah, those who disagree with the Baal HaItur, maybe they're assuming that the level of washing is much, much greater, which again would be understood in light of the comment in the Ramban al HaTur. So the Rashba has a fascinating raya for the Baal HaItur. The Rashba says, bring your raya brewer, that it's mutter, that there's nothing to worry about, that if it's something which is darker b'kach to wash off, then you can easily touch it and you don't have to worry about it because you're going to end up washing it anyway. Says the Rashba, a raya from a pasuk in Chumash. Anyone say the raya of the Rashba? Perish the pasuk. For Yosem es ha-chalavim al ha-chazos. It says that when they brought the kabbalas in where's that pasuk? Which is Tzav HaShmini. It's in Tzav? I don't think we got to that yet. Okay. So they took the chalev and they took the meat of the animal and they touched it one to another. They put it mamash one on top of another. Give out whatever. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the Mishnah, Maseches Chulin. How are you allowed to do that? It's a gezeira that you may come to forget to wash off the meat. So says the Rashba, Zemin Fendor, there's no kasha. There's no kasha b'chlal, there's no isser chlal, because since everybody knows you wash off raw meat before you cook it, so then there was nothing to worry about. So it's a fair pasuk that the Baal HaItur is right. So the Vilna Gaon comments on that raya, the Rashba, says he doesn't understand what the Rashba's raya was on many, many different levels. So first of all, says the Vilna Gaon, he says, this is a gezeira d'rabbanan. Are we afraid you're going to forget to wash or not? You're going to bring me a raya from a pasuk in Chumash? The Pasuk Chumash was written before the Mishnah in Masechet Chumash was written. It means that Tanoim, sometime, we don't know when different gezeiros were made. So some gezeiros Chazal tell us, David made this, Shlomo made this, Anshei Knesset Gadol made that. But 99% of the gezeiros in the day that appear in the Mishnah, we have no idea when they were made. They were made sometime between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Anytime, doesn't matter. The Rambam writes in his Akdom at the Perashat Mishnah is that it doesn't really interest us when they were made, because a takana that was made by Rav Ashi is the same tokif as a takana made by Yeshua Ben Nun. It's the same thing. So it doesn't. It's for pure historical reason to know which takanas were made by who. So every once in a while, the Gemara will fill us in on the details, and most of the time not. So I have no idea when this gezeira was made. Not to touch meat to cheese. Gezeira, you're going to forget to wash it off. Sometime between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, this gzeir was made. That's a long span of quite some time. So says the Gra, but it's only mitirabban, it's not a thing there. Aisa, so he said that just because the Chumash wasn't concerned with it, just because the Baruch Shalom didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, stop, what are you doing? V'yasim z'chol v'achzor, it's against the Mishnah Chulin. That doesn't indicate anything about the Machlokes, the Rashba and the Baal Iter. The Rashba and the Baal Iter, they're on the Baal Iter. They're talking about post-Gezeira. Was the Gezeira included on things that are not, that are darker b'kach to wash? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no Gezeira altogether. So what in the world did the Rashba mean? It's a funny, it's not a strange raya. The Gra's right. Unless you want to argue that the Rashba meant the very lamda shiraya, the Rashba meant that maybe it's a dav ha-mufurish b'tor l'hatir. That's what he meant. The Taz, the famous Taz, says in a few places that whenever the Torah says something is mamish mutter beferish, Chazal can't answer it. Chazal can answer things that are neutral. See, the Torah never says you're allowed to move muktzah on Shabbos. It doesn't say you're allowed, it doesn't say you're not allowed to. So everything's mutter to prove an asr. So since the Torah doesn't say you're allowed to move muktzah, Chazal can make whatever gzeiras they want. But if the Torah says something is beferish mutter, so that Chazal do not have the koyach, that's called the akiris davmin of Torah, shalak yedin. They would have no right to make an Issa Derabbanan on something that's Prem Mali Beferish in the Torah Tzmuta. The famous, famous Taz by Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, where he explains that's the reason why Chazal didn't ask that Tekiyah Shofar in every Yontif. We should never blow Shofar in any Yontif, because Zeir Rishem Yisak and Klishia. The same way you can't play the drums, can't play piano on Yontif, so we should never ever blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because Zeir Rishem Yisak and Klishia. So the Taz says you can't do that. The Torah says you blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So you want to tell me once every 5 years Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so you don't blow Shofar? That they can do. Because the Torah doesn't say be finished to blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. The Torah says blow Shofar in Shabbos. The Torah says blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's understood that you blow Shofar, bein b'chol, bein b'Shabbos. You have no reason to believe otherwise. The Gemara thought we had a reason, the Gemara rejected the reason. So min ha-Torah, the Torah says blow Shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's understood that you blow on Shabbos. So if the Chacham decide for one fine day to make it a gzeira, don't blow on Shabbos, you may come to be carried the Shofar. That's not called an akiwas davar min ha-Torah. But for the Chacham to take an eraser and cut out a pasuk out of Chumash by saying Yom Tru'el Lechem, that's not part of our religion anymore, that would be mamish. That's a zif ha-Torah. That's an akiwas davar min ha-Torah li'olam. That would be unacceptable. That's what the Taz says, the same word. That's why they never made the Gezeirah D'Rabbanan not to do a Bris Mila on Shabbos. The Ran and Rosh Hashanah, Reddy Ba'al with the Kasha, Chazal should have said, you can't do a Bris Mila on Shabbos because Gezeirah is going to carry the knife. Gezeirah is going to carry the baby. Same as the Shofar and Lulav. Why did they make that Gezeirah? So the Ran gives his Teretz. So the Taz says, I'll tell you the Teretz is. Emes the Teretz says, the Taz. The Pasuk says, V'yayim HaShmini Yim HaBesar Allah. So we have a tradition, Halach HaMashem Sina, that Pasuk was written, Dafka Lahafta Mila on Shabbos. So if you're going to tell me that you can't do Bilan Shabbos, you just cut a Pasuk out of Chumash. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Lulav, the Torah doesn't say, L'kachtam l'chem b'yom harishon b'Shabbos. It just says, take the Lulav on Sukkot on the first day. So it's understood even on Shabbos. So if the Rabbanah want to come every few years and say, don't take it on Shabbos, that they could do. But to the Eikah, Dovah, the Gamel, the Kol B'chol, that they mamash have no koyach to do. So maybe that's what the Rashi was driving at also. Here, if the Ra'ah is right, that under no circumstances are you ever, ever, ever allowed to have meat touching cheese. You can never have treifas touching kosher things, even things which are darker l'kach to wash. But the Torah says it's okay. You have to post the Mishnah Chulin, you got to cross out the Pasuk Chumash. The Pasuk says it's okay. The Torah is made that this is okay. So the answer is that the Torah is made, it's okay, and there's nothing to worry about because it's darker l'kach to wash off, so therefore there's nothing to worry about, which is exactly what the Rashba brought as a raya. So that would be a very, very razzle-dazzle raya of the Rashba. And the Gra's other time is against the Rashba's, right? He says, just because in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was nothing to be afraid of, Kohanim's Rizimheim, the Gra has a lot of things like that, that were much more make on certain things in the base of Mikdash, because the Kohanim were basically on top of it. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, they were on top of what was going on. You can let every Tom, Dick, and Harry in every pizza store throw his chicken and his pizza in the same bag, because it's Dr. Bakach to wash afterwards. That's a big stretch. So the Gra didn't like these Raya's of the Rashba. But at the end of the day, it's Mechag Zirushayim. At the end of the day, it's not relevant for us. No one ever does this anyway. No one in their wildest dreams would put this slice of pizza together with their raw chicken and call it a day. We don't put our chicken with our pizza. We don't put our cooked chicken and raw chicken. Nobody does any of this stuff anyway. But Lemaisa, in terms of the pure din, so the Mishnah records that Tzadim B'Tzadim is Bad Docha, and then the Mishnah records this additional gezeira not to rely on Tzadim B'Tzadim Bad Docha. Machlek is Bal Itter and the Ra'ah, whether there's an exception to the rule, something which is Daka B'Kach to wash off. The Rash was attempted Raya's, and the Gra says that the Raya's in Mishkin. Yeah.
What would be
No, but the whole purpose of the pasuk of Yom HaShemini, we already know milas on the eighth day. We have other pasukim for that. But the Gemara says that the pasuk of Yom HaShemini was coming to teach us milas b'Shabbos. There is no pasuk that says b'Feir Shosh Hashanah or Lulav on Shabbos.
If it happens that you have to wash it off, do you have to go like the Ramban?
And how much you have to wash? How much you have to wash? I don't know. You have to do a good job. I don't know. I'm not sure what the shear of scrubbing is.
According to people that you have to machna to have it, let's feel it, stick it together. So you want to buy like fish from a non-kosher fish store? And
you mean assuming that was...
Are you going to assume that they have other fish there that's not kosher?
You mean assuming that the stuff was touching already? There are other problems involved with that. Yeah. I don't know that. I'm not sure that would be called setting up l'chad chila. I'm not sure about that. So it's this whole discussion that starts out in the Gemara about foods. That was the original case of Basak Vina touching one another. Now it takes on a life in and of itself. If we substitute one of the things rather than being a food, one of the things is a kli. It happens to be a trefa kli. So what's the din in the following case? I have a trefa kli and I put cold food on a trefa kli. What could possibly be the ramifications of that? So nothing terrible. The worst it could be is sedim instead of hadocha. If everything's cold, so the kli's cold, the food's cold, so nothing terrible could happen to the food. But the question is, was I allowed to do that lechatchila? So l'chora, based on everything that we said, that should be a problem. Because the same way that we're saying that you're not supposed to rely on sedim instead of hadocha lechatchila, because you shouldn't set up a requirement sedim instead of hadocha. So if one of the tzonins is a kli, so then mistama, I shouldn't rely on the fact that I'm going to wash the food off afterwards. Mistama, I should say also, it's also the chachila to do that. So that starts a whole ball rolling. Is that in fact true or not? So the Ramah assumes that should be the case, based on everything we just said. There should be some kind of an issim in the Rabbana, they part of this gezeira, to put cold food onto a cold tray for kli, because you're forcing yourself in effect to rely on the hadachi afterwards. The only problem is the Ramah says it's against the Beferishi Gemara. The Gemara in the second Berakha Beseches Pesachim on Pesach, which is the most chum of everything, so the Gemara talks about using clay chametz for matzah, and the Gemara says as long as it's cold, everything's great. You can use a chametz to take a clay, and you can put your cold piece of matzah onto something you just had cold chametz, you had chametz on a little while ago, no big deal, everything is tzadim mitzvah, everything's hunky-dory. So the Ramah says, why is everything hunky-dory? What happened to these gezeiros? Why is putting a cold pizza, kosher Pesach food onto a cold chametz kli any better than having pizza and chicken touch each other? Why don't we make the gezeira that you may not come to wash it off properly? So, depending what the answer to that question is, there's going to be some potential nafkaminas left in the that's shown next year. We'll try to pick it up from that point, how far tzadim tzadim adach actually goes. These are the points.